getting gone, Andy. Started off with Ray, and then Steve over there, AK, and, what's that other, doggone, he always checked in. I think it was over at Measley, around, man, I can't think, was it Pledge? Yeah, Pledge, he passed away. That's four of them here in just a short time.
LZI, well, that's just the few of this year that I kind of remember. I've got call signs in my head from this repeater from decades ago, and they've been dead and gone for decades.
You see these new hams stepping up and coming in and eager to learn. I just wonder what happened to my buddy Chad, KO4NUE, and his wife Anna, KO4RYP. They didn't check in tonight, and usually if they up there at the deer camp on 12 Mile River, they check in from up there, or either at home or mobile. I just don't know why they didn't check in tonight. I'll give him a call in the morning. I got his phone number. So, excuse me. Yeah, I've been in the net control station when somebody checked in. The net control station, they know when something's not right and certain people ain't checked in. That's always checked in, and you start to get worried about them because we all like family here, Andy. K4OIM for ID. Yeah, Duncan, welcome to the hobby. And as far as antennas go, you will never get tired of antennas. That's one very important part about ham radio is your antennas and building your own antennas. And just about any kind of wire will work. Well, any kind of wire will work. Aluminum just won't conduct as good as copper. And copper won't conduct as good as silver, and it won't conduct as good as gold, but who wants a gold antenna? You'd have to have an armed guard out there around it at night, but I'm still wanting to put me up one and feed it with open line. I've never tried that, but it's a very interesting hobby. You never get to where you know everything. You're always learning, Duncan. And by the way, I have to say it, welcome to the hobby, Duncan. KO4KB, K4OIM, and KI4LZI, Andy's in here.
Larry, I think's in here too, ain't you, Larry? KI4LZI, KK4JBQ, you still here?
Where you at, Larry?
JBQ, I'm just sitting back listening. That's a fun part of the hobby too. And it's not just entertaining, but this is a what you might call a clearinghouse for information. And one of the most informed people that I know of is Andy. He can tell you things that will not stick in your head, but is in his head all the time. And Walt is just as generous as anybody you'll ever meet. This is a good hobby, and we are a family. So be prepared for that. KK4JBQ.
K4JKB, and I'm just honored to be amongst the people. I just, every time I listen to this net, I just think of that, I don't know, this might be dumb, kind of that Jägermeister commercial. Everyone's around the round table, all the cool people, but man, you guys have given me so much information, and I rarely check in or talk on this repeater, but I listen all the time, and I take up a lot of information. I just gotta say, I'm just so glad that I don't know what to say. KO4JKP.
That's the guy. Walt, you was talking about Chad. I heard him earlier tonight over on our local repeater, over 147.195. He checked in with us over here on our Racy's net over here tonight. Over here, he was from Campobello. I was just wondering if he could get in from Campobello into it, but he did. He checked in on here tonight. Over here on 195, and Duncan, you know I mentioned a while back something about Summit's on the air, about that. Anybody, there's rules and all to that. I don't know what all they are. There's been a time or two I've been up at the site where I'm talking about what 195 is, and heard some people doing Summits on the air on 2 meter simplex on 146.52 before from up there. And seems like to me, best I remember, you got to work about 3 or 4 like that per site, something like that. And that's something you can do on VHF even if you want to. So until you get well suited for set up for HF, you could possibly do that.
JKV, yeah, Andy. Actually, there was somebody, it was probably last fall, around in October, that I was just had my, my radio open, and someone was chiming in on Summits on the air, and I didn't know what what I was doing, and they just gave me all these numbers, and like, great, that's good, and yeah, that's good, but since then, I learned more about it, so you got to know your location plot and all that stuff, and but yeah, it's just it's everything about ham radio is exciting, and you guys are so helpful. So I'll just keep listening. You guys keep talking. KO4JKV, loving it.
A thing that you can get, now I got it when I've been at Hamfest before. What they call a U.S. grid square mount. Now, whether it would work with someone that's on the air, I'm not so sure if you're too close together if it would work, but on the HF part, it will definitely work. What they call a U.S. grid square mount. Here in the general area where we are, we're in the EM section, but there's different numbers with the EM section that's on that, because I know as these 2 meters downlink satellites pass over, I hear them on the scanner. And that's what they use when they're working the satellites overhead.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to go through some things that probably a brand new ham would be interested in. Some things that I've run into. This is a hobby that suits all the people all the time. and that's because it's so wide and it's so deep. We've heard some comments about grid squares. Grid squares is, the full name of that is Maidenhead grid squares. You are in a grid square. It's a way of dividing up the earth, the whole planet, into small grids. And, why would you want to do that? Well, it identifies you in a location, and your location is everything. It speaks to what sort of ground is underneath your feet, how conductive it might be. It speaks to whether you are at the seashore or in the desert. And so there are folks around the earth that want to make long-distance contacts. This is a big thing in the hobby. VX, it's called. And then, as human beings, we think of ways to keep score. So you'll find people that are after grid squares, and they fill in a map. And there's somebody out there that gives awards for this. Absolutely certain of that. Although I don't participate in that. There are people who chase counties in the U.S. And by chasing, I mean they want to get a contact in every county in every state. On a smaller scale, but still quite large, there are people who want to work all the states in the United States. This is kind of difficult because, you know, there are a couple of those out there, Alaska and Hawaii, that are quite far off, especially on the East Coast. There are people who want to go out to parks. If you remember the national parks, and I'm going to let this drop for a second. In the late 90s, a contest that was to collect contacts with people from all the parks, the national parks. And then it kind of switched over, because everybody loved that, it switched over to Parks on the Air, or POTA, the acronym. And it's still going. The National Parks on the Air was just for 1 year. A really big contest, and people just loved it. Well, going out to a park in South Carolina, in North Carolina, you'll find numerous parks. Same thing with Summits on the Air, or SOTA. Climbing mountains, whether that's on foot, many of them are accessible by car. And you go out and you sit up on a park bench in Parks on the Air. You go out and find your place, a place to put up an antenna with a mobile rig and transmit from the top of a mountain, thousands of feet in the air perhaps. We don't have really tall mountains in the east as they do in the west, in the Rockies. But there's some part of this hobby for everybody. Everybody is, well, some people are more competitive than others. They like to work contests. Some folks who do repeater work only just want to keep in touch with their local friends. There's a little bit of this hobby for everybody. Welcome, and find your place. But in any event, you're on the right track. I'll let this drop again. Track, because focusing on two things. A band that you want to get to know. You want to get to know it from the beginning to the end of the spectrum that's included within that band, all the frequencies. So you have, at the lower end of the band, you'll usually have CW. You'll have digital modes. And then you start with the phone portion of the band, where you can use a microphone and speak like we're doing here. So get to know a band, and then that'll point you to the antenna you need to construct. And, well, the radio is always going to be important. But if you spend every $100 you spend on a radio, spend $25 to $35 on an antenna. It's that important. And that's a lot in one bit of talk. KK4JBQ.
Doctor asked me earlier about what band was used the most, or a favorite band, and I told him it would probably be 40 meters, you know, for year-round contacts, summer, winter, day or night, but Was I correct in that, or was... I know 80 meters here this week trying to check into the sideband net. You have to go through a relay. I mean, the propagation has been just awful on 80 meters at night this week. But you still, if nothing else, you can pick up foreign broadcast on 40 meters. But I'd say 40 meters is probably the best all-around band. You just had one band to talk on and all for communications. Or what do you think, Larry? KK4JBQ,
KK4OIM. ABQ. Walt, I think you're correct in that. It will depend on an individual's preferences. And if you move off the band that you choose to be the band you learn very well in the beginning, you might be forced off with contests. Some folks I know like to rag to, and contests are very structured. Usually there's an exchange that's taken place with the calling frequency and the calling station and the answering station. There's an exchange that takes place, and they're looking for numbers. So rag to-ing is really not encouraged. And then, two, we depend on the ionosphere in the HF bands to reflect, or some folks say refract, the signals from that layer of the atmosphere that's just, 7 to 12 miles high. It's more active with the sun, and... this is how signals will hop. You can have what's called a takeoff angle with your antenna. If your takeoff angle is between 5 and 10 degrees, you'll hit the ionosphere in such a way that it'll take a hop, and then it'll reflect off the ground, or ideally, and on the East Coast here, it's not unheard of that it'll refract off of the ocean and jump over to Western Europe. Long distance is a big part of this hobby, DXing. But when the ionosphere is not active, and we just, the sun has a great deal to do with the ionosphere. So just recently, and it might be one of the difficulties that you encountered recently, is a solar mass ejection occurred late last month, and it wiped the bands out. It sent a mass of a plasma from the sun, just a mass from the sun, and it struck the Earth. The Earth's magnetic field saved us. One more time, let this drop. Life on this planet could not exist without our magnetic field to repulse these highly charged ejections from the sun. We're getting into a very active time. It's of the cycle of the sun, the life of the sun. It runs in 11-year cycles. And we're just at the beginning of cycle 25 since we started keeping records like this. It's an exciting time because the bands open up and the sun is active with sunspots, which are a healthy and good thing. CMEs are not. Not usually. So what else to know? Get to know 40 meters. It's a good all-round band. You'll pick up things, getting to know that band, that are applicable on all the bands. It's just a good way to educate yourself. Pick one band and treat it like an encyclopedia. Learn everything you can about it. KK4JBQ.
for JPQ, KU4JQV. Thanks for all that information. And I'll take that to heart. And what Walt said, it's 40-20. That's a good starting place. So I'm gonna take my general class next Saturday, December 4th in Marion. So hopefully I'll join the upper ranks. So I love this Rag Chew Roundtable, whatever you call it. And I'll keep listening, and I'd love to hear you on other bands. KO4JKP.
KO4NUE.
Y'all go ahead and carry on, and you was wondering about Chad. There he is there. I got to go take in KI4LCI.
There he is.
What about KO4NUE? I hadn't heard you or Miss Anna. You want to go ahead and check you and her in? I'll amend my net report.
Check us in, Walt. Father-in-law, stepdad, pacemaker today. And that got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And then the handy talkie died on me. And it's been a long day. So I can't think of a better way to end it than end up in a rag chew with Duncan and you and Larry. So, Duncan, if you got a minute, I'd like to comment on your question, I'm assuming, about antennas. Kind of got in a little bit late, but if you don't mind, just what was the question, if y'all don't mind me commenting.
No problem, Chad. Antenna questions. KO4JKP, Duncan. And I got a small space. I pretty much live in a box. And I have no backyard. I could grow a tree, but I have a deck. It's not an ideal place to have an HF antenna. But I've been looking at solutions such as Buddy Pull Pro, which doesn't require, a bunch of radials. You just put one offset thing. I'm not sure what they call it yet. But I'm just trying to, I don't want to talk to Italy. I just want to be able to talk to maybe Texas.
Good night, Chad.
Good deal. Let me make sure I got this, Duncan. So I have a little different perspective. I'm new at this too. I'm good at taking a test. That's about all I'm good at. So let me inject my comments among all of this wisdom. So my perspective is about the antenna. Is first of all, what do you want to do, and what is your driver? In other words, is this to you? Are you in this hobby to keep your mind active? Are you in this hobby for emergency communications? Are you in this hobby to you can go around and around and around. So my perspective is you have all these different slices of this pie, ham radio being the pie, and you can divvy that up into a million different reasons why people do this. But your antenna is going to be the crust. It's going to touch all of those pieces of that pie, and the crust is what's going to hold everything together. So if you are one of those operators that just wants to operate and buy your antenna, that's a great thing. But don't miss out on the opportunity to slow down just a little bit and understand how it works a little bit. You don't have to get in depth, or have someone, or you pick a band that you want to talk with. But the first question will have to be asked, what do you want to do? And you said that, you know, I want to be able to talk with Texas. So let's start there. Let me let this drop. If you want to talk with Texas, I'm sure there's a myriad of ways of doing that. But my perspective is that I am on 80 meters, and I'm not going to move off of 80 meters until I have a clear understanding of that band. Just the way my mind works, other people work differently. But there's a lot of observations in the last couple of months that comes with 80 meters. I can definitely get to Texas. I can collect traffic. I can collect information. I can disseminate information. I can relay information. I can do all of that on 80 meters. And I'm still learning on 80. I haven't moved to the other bands. Don't want to. I will eventually. But I started off and still am exactly where you are. I want to be able to move slowly and just get to Texas for now. And that's a great starting point. I personally would encourage you to not purchase your antenna. If you won't, go ahead. But you're missing out on a great learning experience on learning to build that antenna. And it's pretty simple. So I'll make a deal with you. If you need the wire, I've got 3 miles of it, literally. I'll give you the wire. And I'll help you make a connector if you want to make a dipole. And teach you, just like these gentlemen taught me, on what to do and how to do it. We'll have to arrange a meeting, of course, to do that. But we'll be glad to do that. One thing I'll tell you, Duncan, is, let me let this drop. Be careful how much information you decide to digest at one time. Because there's so much information and so many things to experience. If you try to take in too much at one time, this is my mind now. Your mind may be different. You miss a lot of nuances and a lot of things to learn. So I had to take a step back, find some wisdom, which you're in the right spot, and just say, okay, there's so many pieces of this pie, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to learn all these others when the situation presents. And I've learned already, the situation will present when it's time. Pick one piece, understand that piece and that piece of crust. And then when you're comfortable with that, you'll know it, and it'll be time to move on. But as far as the antenna goes, you know, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm telling you my experience. And that's kind of where I am, you know, with all of this. So I picked a band. I picked what I wanted to do. Then figured out a band that would do that for me. I'm sure there are other bands that will do that, but I know 80 meters has worked very relatively well. Then, what kind of antenna do I need to do that? So there's some finances involved there, depending on what you want to do. But, you know, that's That's my perspective. Not the hog time, but there you go. KO4NUE. I'm not sure who else is in here, but I know Larry and Walt's in there. Go ahead. KO4JKV.
KO4NUE. KO4NUE. This is KO4JKP. Yeah, I listened to all that. It sounds really good. And, yeah, you got a good philosophy about, the, you know, radio and all that. And, but, you know, I have a lot of questions, and I just, and you guys are answering a lot of them. But, like I said, I have a, you know, small space to deal with, and, yeah, I'm listening. I got to go use the bathroom. I'll be right back. KO4JKV.
K4OIM. I know you didn't have the radio on at the beginning of the net, but did you hear about Robert Martin?
Well, I need to now, Walt. I think you just said it all. I mean, I know he's sick, but I'm assuming the worst. Am I right?
Became a silent key at about 1 o'clock today, Chad.
I hear that, Walt. I really am. I just, oh man, I don't know what to say. I mean, I've had a recent death in the family, and then, you know, hospital today with my stepdad. I don't know what to think about all this. It's just, I don't ever remember a time in my life when I have all of this sickness and death has just been so prevalent. I mean, I don't want to be negative or anything, but I don't really know what to say.
I went through the pre-check-in list and through EchoLink. Well, I didn't have anybody up right then on EchoLink, and W4DJW, he broke in out of turn, said he had one announcement to make, and he broke the news, said he passed at about 1 o'clock today. And I just wasn't ready for it, Chad. There for a minute or two, I couldn't hear nobody's call sign, name, or nothing. I just stuck on Robert, and Dave asked for everybody to pray for Barney, his wife, and their kids and grandkids. But I think it called everybody a shock, because it just, 3 weeks ago, he called the net guy. I was picking on him about staying away from the radio so much, and he said he had been working a lot, didn't have time to get back in hardly at all. But he said, well, I'm going to try to get back in here and check in more often. Then last week, Dave said he had to go to the hospital, and doggone this week, a silent key.
Hear that? I really am. I didn't know Robert personally, but I heard him call the net many times, and I hate that. I do. But I don't think it's gonna be a service to dwell on it either. I think just take it the way it is, and I mean, there's nothing else to do, really. Just kind of feel some sympathy and difficulties that come with that. But I just, yeah. If you don't mind, Walt, let me just say I'm sorry and condolences. I want to deal with any more death, if that's okay. I've had enough. But if you don't mind, Duncan, you back in there?
4JKV, I'm back in there to raise everyone's spirits, because I'm just new here, and I don't know what to do with my hands.
Hey. Okay, so, I'm not sure what to say. I want to say, Larry, take it, but that's just so much I want to tell you, because I've been on this journey now for 6 or 8 months, and but I don't want to be unprofessional either. So, Larry, go ahead and take it, sir.
KK4JBQ. Thank you, Chan. There's one thing before we leave the news about Robert today that I must say. I gave a eulogy for both my mother and my father. They died 5 weeks apart, and death really it affects me in a similar way, Chad, so I do understand. What I said, I believe, at my father's funeral was that the thing that we still, those of us on this side of life, must remember are the remainders. Those of us who remain behind, Bonnie, Robert's children and his grandchildren, those are the folks that matter now. Robert was a great friend to me. I served with him on the executive board at the club, and I knew him well. And still, I can be happy for him because I'm a believer. I am a Christian, and I believe in life after this life. And I know Robert did too. I take comfort in that. So remember Bonnie and the extended family that grieve for their loss. And with that, I'll leave also that subject. And Joe, we'll get back to antennas. And I will have to mention that I live not in a similar topography that you deal with, that others deal with, but I live in an HOA, and antennas are forbidden here. So I look for antennas that don't look like antennas. I look for antennas that can be hidden in plain sight, and antennas that can't be seen. So you have to entertain antennas in the attic if you have one. Antennas that look like flagpoles, that look like planters. So you will have some restrictions based on your living conditions. And that's what I've dealt with for the last 10 years. And it just makes it more fun. KK4JBQ.
KO4JKB. Duncan, one more word about the advice about an antenna. If you put one up and it's dry and windy outside, you can get a scary shot from it. I mean, it'll scare you to death, but there's not any ounce behind it, but the wind friction and the dry air, it'll build up a static charge on that thing, like when you slide across your car seat sometime. But you said you could get a 50-foot wire out that window. Man, I'd try that before I did anything. And Chad, he's trying to decide between the ICOM 7300 and that Yaesu you got. Could you help him out any there?
I sure will. And I'm just going to tell you, this is my opinion. Okay? I'm a little different than most people. But you did ask. So I'm want to tell you. My grandfather taught me a long time ago that if it fits in your hand, or you are doing a job that you enjoy doing, or a job that provides a need for your family, then you buy the best. There is a time and a place to go to Harbor Freight and get a pack of wrenches. But there's also a time and a place to buy a set of Matcos. This may be one of those times. And it may be a difficult sale for maybe a wife or your significant other. But I will tell you this, that as you start to grow and you start to learn and you realize where you can go and what you can do with this, which you may not know that right now, there is nothing going to be more frustrating than to say, okay, well, I just bought this $200 radio and I'm ready to grow and learn and go forward. But I can't do that because I bought a $200 radio that does just this. Now, there's going to be people out there that disagree with what I'm fixing to tell you, and that's why I'm saying this is my opinion. Put the money up front. Get a radio that will do a lot, if you can. If you can't do that financially, this is just my opinion. We scrimped and saved to get a radio that when I bought, I looked at it and I thought, I have no idea what all these buttons do. And I still don't. But as I grow, I can move into that radio and learn what those buttons do when the need arises. So, I will tell you my perspective. Get all you can get and all you can afford so you can grow into it. That way it doesn't hold you back or slow you down, and you can grow with it, if you understand what I mean. Otherwise, you're going to have a room full of radios, which there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just, Christmas is coming. So that's my take. And it took a little bit of convincing to convince my wife of that. But we both bit the bullet and got something that will do a lot for the money. So the next question I have is, do you have, what kind of license are you holding right now?
For NUE KO4JKB. Right now I'm holding a technician's license. I'm going to test, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, down in Marion. They got a Marion little ham club down there, and that's where I got my technicians. That's where I'm doing my general, so I'm going to pass. And like I said earlier, I put the carriage before the horse, so I'm already shopping for radios. And you guys were talking earlier, and man, I just love this repeater. And Larry, I love the way you talk. My wife and I, we're conservative people, religious people too, so I just love this repeater. But anyway, I digress. Let me let this drop. So, my radio, what I'm looking at is the Icom 7300 and the Yaesu, whatever that one is, 8700, whatever. But I'm just wondering, I just need guidance, a little, just like, hey, up here in the Carolinas, we only talk on 20 meters or something like that. I just need some, I need a nudge here or there. KO4JKB.
Chad, he's got the same radio. He's looking at the same Yaesu you got.
991A. Yeah, so I'm going to go right back to my original statement. it may be a hard sell, and it might be a hard bullet to bite. I get it. Trust me. And we made that bite. So I know how hard it is, okay? But if you'll do the math, you know, $200 here, and then $400 for this one, and well, this one will do 80 meters, this one will do 60 meters, this one will do da-da-da. When you math all that out over time, you know, just think about it. You know, I know these radios, I know what they cost and what they're worth, and we just took a different perspective. So here's what's going to happen, Duncan. You're going to go get your license in 2 weeks, and it's going to take you a couple of days to get over. Well, I've got my general ticket. I did it. The next thing that's going to happen after 2 or 3 days after letting that soak in is that, hey, I don't have a radio, and I've got a license to operate. What am I doing? I need to get a radio. Just slow down a little bit. Continue to collect your information. I have worked with the ICOMs, not as much as I have the Yazoos. And here's my opinion. They are both excellent radios. I will say that the ICOM on the touchscreen is a little bit easier to program, in my opinion, than the Yazoo. The Yazoo has its definite ways, but if you're asking me to tell you which radio is better, I'm going to tell you that they are both fine radios, and I could easily do either one. So, you know, that's my perspective on the radios. But when you get that CSCE form in your hand and you get over, like I said, that, hey, I got my general ticket, like Larry said when he got his license, I'm a ham. Well, that's exciting. But when it registers in your mind, hey, I am a ham, well, I can't even operate. Well, that's going to light a fire, and that's good. Just make sure that you strike the right, you know, you build the right kind of fire when that hits you. And get, you don't have to buy new, but get, you know, my philosophy, like I said, is if it fits in your hand, get the best, and they're both good radios. Doesn't matter what you do, you may have to bite the bullet, and you know, sell it this way. What I had to do was, okay, well, we can grow into it and let somebody work with you with the antennas. I'll be glad to do that. Be glad to pass along what these gentlemen have taught me. Let me let this cycle. Learn how to build that, put it in the radio, and put it on the radio, build it resonant. The 991 and the ICOM both have built-in tuners, so, you know, you can make an antenna a little bit longer or shorter and still tune the radio, or tune the antenna to the radio. And then that way, you're not held back with, you know, having to get another radio. That's my opinion. Sorry for being so long tooth, but KO4NUE and everybody else. Somebody pick it up.
NUE, KO4JKB. When you get up in the morning and you turn on your radio, what band do you turn it on? What's your go-to band? And that's going to help me because, you know, I learned a lot from you guys. So when you get up in the morning, you turn your radio on, what's your band?
So I try to figure out how to answer this. So my go-to band is 80 meters, period. But that's what I'm learning right now. I have gotten to a point to where I can see value in other bands. So let me tell you what I did last week. So I said when I started this, I'm not interested in DXing. I'm not interested in FT8, and at the time, not interested in digital modes. But last week, I sent an email to a station across the United States with my radio and no internet. An email now. You think about that potential for a second. Had I not had the radio I have, I would have to order and wait to do that, which is nothing wrong with that. But here's what you're going to run into. Is some of these radios are hard to even purchase. You're on a waiting list, or you can't get them, or they're out of stock with no, you know, indication of how long it's going to take. That's what you're going to run into. I'm not saying jump on it and just, you know, slow down just a little bit and think things out. And waiting a little bit now is going to be a whole lot better than waiting a long time later because they're out of stock. I've been through that and still doing it with HRO and DX engineering. It's not their fault. It's just where we are in the country right now, I guess, or the world. So just keep that in mind. Somebody else pick it up.
Ma'am, can I get it for a minute, Chad?
I'll shorten it up a little bit.
No, I enjoy listening to that. I just want you to tell him what it's like when you get that general ticket going from 2 meter FM to HF sideband. A total shock, isn't it?
Duncan, one thing I'll tell you is that if you're enjoying clarity and good modulation and good signal on this repeater, that's a service that it provides with UHF and VHF. HF, I know you've heard the term, you know, I worked that station. Well, that's what worked means, because it's so noisy sometimes that you have to work to get that information or to make that contact. And, you know, just consider that. And when you purchase your radio, you know, you're going to need some good filtering in there to do that. Unfortunately, you know, you have to pay for that. That's like a race car, you know, more horsepower, more money. But it's going to be worth it. It will. I know you don't know me from Adam's house cat. Just trust me, it will be worth it, because HF is a whole lot different, because with 2 meter, you put the frequency in, you put the PL tone, and you're enjoying the frequency. HF, you know, you got to know how to operate the radio, or you're not going to hear anything. And you have to know what that antenna is doing. And no better way to know what things are doing than to build it yourself. And you learn that foundation then you can move forward without being so confused. But KK4JBQ, pick it up, Larry.
Thank you, Chad. KK4JBQ. After a few years in this hobby, you will come to realize probably what I have come to realize, and that it's better to observe what others are doing, and you're doing that. It's the best shortcut anybody can take. Not reinventing the wheel, it's already here. Observe what other people do. Listen to what they say. If you watch YouTube videos, then choose someone that's easy to listen to. Someone that you can understand as they speak. I listen to many YouTube channels that are related to ham radio. And this is a little off any topic we've discussed. But because the radios that are in question here are full power, you might say. And I won't bore you with the history of why practically every radio you see, and certainly the two that you're interested in purchasing, are a maximum of 100 watts. We call that barefoot, without the advantage of an amplifier, a linear amplifier. Your general ticket will have an upper limit of 1,500 watts. But that's not just words. That is a great deal of money. These amplifiers would run on 220 volts. You'll have to give up a dryer or have an electrician install a new run of wire from your power panel just to have a linear amplifier for 1,500 watts. Well, why is that even necessary? Oh, there's many reasons. I won't go into that, but you can just tell that 100 watts and 1,500 watts, that's going to be more power, more RF out there, and it's more money. But you can do a great deal, and I'm at a place in the hobby where I am really wanting to get down into the details. Why some radios will work and others don't. Why some antennas will work and others don't. It's largely because the wisdom of the operator. That always has to be there. The operator understands what the radio is doing and what the antenna is doing and helps it along in every way they can. And not all of that costs a great deal of money. I'll let this drop for a moment.